Wait a second, Dustin Rhodes!
Stop it!
What are you doing, Dustin Rhodes?
Here he goes!
Give me a break. And then Craig Counsell, that's baseball. Well, that's just baseball.
Oh, we got Dustin Rhodes here.
It's about damn time this man made his appearance as a guest right here on the Score Afternoon Show. Spiegs and Anthony Herron with you, keeping tabs on all things Bears roster cuts, but wanted to check in with a Cubs voice after what seems like an unseemly move last night, putting Drew Smyly on waivers, available to anyone. And we'll see if he indeed ends up on another team. And joining us right now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, is our friend Dustin Rhodes from the Fly the W podcast. Good afternoon, good sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. Did you nap? Do you usually
no,
nap?
No, never a nap. Never a nap. Wow. No, I went and taught. I went and taught our next bosses over at the Illinois Media School. That's what I do between 10 and 2.
Unbelievable. Well, it's better than listening to Bernsey and Lawrence. Am I right?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one, Matt. I'm going to stay out of that one right now.
Yeah, I guess Spiegs over at the Illinois Media School, they could benefit from some of your knowledge over there.
Dustin has my number. I'm always available.
There's a downtown Unless campus too. Something. I'm out at O'Hare, so I do the O'Hare campus.
Oh wow, okay,
downtown
yeah.
campus.
I've been to the other campus, but most of my time has been at the downtown campus.
I mean, this may shock both of you, but that's not why we called Dustin. So Dustin, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Drew Smyly placing on waivers available to anybody. As we do the math on this, it seems like they could save a little under $5 million, which would indeed, if we are to believe one of the salary cap sites, put them under that first level of the competitive balance tax. It seems like the possible straight money dump for a team that is very much alive, frankly, in the pennant race. Your thoughts, sir?
Right, they're very much alive. They're 5.5 out. They've got 30 games to play. They need 88 wins. They might be able to get there. It's 22-8. Public school educated, I think 22-8. But last night, as soon as the game's over, I clicked over to the Sox for a couple of minutes. I heard Steve Stone talking Groundhog Day as the Sox were blowing yet another lead. I went back over to Marquee, caught what the post-game press conference. And all these rumors are flying around Twitter during the game about Drew Smyly. And then, of course, Craig Counsell's asked about it. And it just came off as a little bit terse. Like he was ticked off that somebody would even... I got no comment on that. Now, Craig's job is to win games. And Drew Smyly is a better option than a lot of the guys they've been running out in high leverage situations. And they made a whole bunch of moves this afternoon, which I'm sure you guys have already talked about. The only thing that this would make sense, where it doesn't come as a ugly move as you think about it a little bit, not to have as many knee-jerk reactions, jerk being the key word that I do, is that do you think it's possible that Drew Smyly said to the Cubs, I would like to see if a contender would want me, if somebody that's right there, somebody's already in, not a wild card team, maybe they want his services and he wanted to see if that was a possibility. Maybe they're doing him a solid.
Well, you know, we'll check on that. The moves that you're talking about are Julian Merriweather to the injured list. Keegan Thompson is brought up from the Iowa Cubs, and Jack Neely sent back down to Iowa. Daniel Palencia is here. So Palencia and Keegan Thompson to the bullpen.
I actually mentioned that to Spiegs a little while ago, Dustin. I was wondering if the reaction that we heard post-game from Craig Counsell was something that he interpreted as maybe being a little bit bristly, you know, about whether it's about the question itself or about management. But I was wondering if Spiegs interpreted that more as being about just some frustration with management for the space the Cubs are finding themselves in, because they are starting to find themselves a bit, even though it's still inconsistent. So it sounds like you think, yeah, he's a little bit upset with management.
Right.
His job
is to help them win games, to put the team in a position to win games. I guess Carter Hawkins and Jed Hoyer's job is to save the owner some money while keeping their job and keeping the future brighter, I guess. But again, think, Matt, do you think Drew Smyly's better than the guys that just moved up and moved down? Wouldn't you rather be able to call upon Drew Smyly than Daniel Palencia? I know they're two different pitchers, but wouldn't you rather have Drew Smyly as an option?
Neither of the guys they just called up should be first call, especially against lefties over Drew Smiley. No chance. No chance. And now that with Mark Leiter gone, I mean, Smiley was the only lefty out there, and the only one. The only way it makes sense to me, if you're like actually trying to maintain a level roster here, is if Jordan Wicks comes up and assumes that role, and that's something that they believe Jordan Wicks can do, as opposed to start in a.
It's time to make a decision on him, right? He's had enough. I would think he's had enough practice in the minor leagues. Either he's going to throw again this year, or you're going to let him sit and rest and get ready for 2025.
Yeah, I mean, one more thing on Smiley. Matty Lee tweeted a little while ago that if Drew Smiley clears waivers, the Cubs plan to keep him with the team. Other teams have 48 hours to submit a claim, so should know tomorrow. So I don't know. That lends a little credence to the idea that it might have been a Smiley request to try and make his way onto a playoff roster.
Right. Dustin. If that's how it turns out, okay, sure. But I can understand why Craig Counsell would be upset about that. And maybe this is the first little. Is the right word? I know you guys love these kind of things. Kink in the armor. Did I use that one right? no, I didn't use it right.
Okay. I don't think so.
No comment on that.
I mean,
if not, I'm sure I'll hear it later on.
Yeah, no, I don't think you did. There's no kink shaming on this show.
Okay,
I believe it's a chink in one's armor, but it's scary to say in these day and times. It's a scary phrase to
maybe
say.
Maybe I was better off saying kink then.
You probably were.
I knew it was something like that, but yes. maybe this is something that is going to get in the way of the nice, harmonious relationship that is Jed Carter and Craig Counsell.
I don't know if it's harmonious. I think they tussle a little bit, and that's okay by me, Anthony. And
if Drew Smiley wanted to be placed on be designated for assignment, I mean, why grant him that? Why grant him that if you still feel like he's a piece that can help you try to get into the wild card here? That's the part that I still wouldn't even completely understand. I mean, it's the thought that maybe you'll bring him back and you don't want to, you know, sort of, you know, have a relationship rift between you and one of your relievers. I don't know why he would be able to sort of ask himself out of town if you feel like you're still attempting to do something legit down the stretch here in September. It doesn't make any sense to me.
But if he did ask and you don't grant it and now he's ticked off, do you want that either? And maybe long term, a veteran pitcher could say, hey, I came to the Cubs because I thought they had a chance. When they didn't have a chance, I asked to leave and they let me. On the flip side, what happened with Hector Neris, veteran pitchers might say, hey, you know what? This is what happens with the Cubs. This is how they deal with things. When things don't go the way things are planned, then they cut you and throw you out to the side. Mm. And then that buyout in the offseason, that $2.5-3 million buyout, now you're not getting that. So that's the opposite side of it. So which way is it?
I think even in that example, if it is Smiley asking out, that still to me is evidence that the Cubs don't feel like they got it this year, which I think most of us agree that they don't got it this year. But internally there within the organization, if they're saying, yeah, we're willing to let a guy walk who's going to help us win games and have a chance in September, even if he's asking out, then that to me is them saying, because if they thought they had a legit chance, why would you let him walk if he's helping you?
That's the thing. These things absolutely can and do send messages. You know, it's interesting because I think of the Yu Darvish trade. I remember talking to somebody in the organization, Dustin, right after that, saying, can you please explain this to me? And the first part of the response was, look, we got $58 million off the books. You know, I mean, it's like, so there was no doubt about that. Right. And of course, we think of the Kyle Schwarber non-tender. But there have been other examples of them doing the right thing. They ate Jason Hayward's contract with plenty of money left on that. And to a lesser extent, Trey Mancini's still getting paid this year. Tucker Barnhart's still getting paid this year. They didn't bother to try and bring those guys back and force them onto the roster, even though they're getting paid. So if they're capable of doing those kind of moves in the right way as well.
Eating Jason Hayward's contract doesn't prove that they're not trying to unload money right now.
No. But there's examples on both sides. But it's hard to, I don't know. I mean, look, even the Mets did it, right? Even the Mets did it when they pivoted last year to try and make sure they could pivot as much as possible before they again went over this year. So teams do play with these limitations, Dustin.
Yeah, they do. They have to play within their budgets and limitations and all that. It's hard for Cub fans when it is the Cubs are still, I believe, the most expensive baseball experience out there. I mean, how much beer is poured at Wrigley Field on a Friday afternoon at 1:20, right? Between 1:20 and 4 o'clock. I bet that's it's a lot of money. It's a lot of Budweiser. It's a lot of 312 or whatever else they're serving out there. So, I mean, they have the money. Come on.
Yes, they do.
They're not still suffering from COVID and everything else. They have the money. So to dump, I want to believe as a Cub fan and as somebody who still has a little faith in Tom Ricketts and Jed Hoyer, I want to believe that this is something that Drew Smyly asked for. Mm. I want to believe that tweet that if he clears and nobody else picks him up, hey, come on back and help us out.
Hey, when you and Crawley are talking Cubs on Fly the W, can you at least admit that over these past, what, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, it's actually been a pretty fun team to watch?
Oh, they've held our interest. There is no doubt about that. There was a point, trying to remember, maybe a month ago where I thought that was it, that they were absolutely positively done.
Sure.
They keep winning 2 out of 3. They keep winning 2 out of 3. You know, like everybody, you know what I hate though is like they have to win tonight because there's no way they could beat Paul Skeens. I mean, come on. Paul Skeens is really, really good. But I mean, they're going to play tomorrow, right? 11:35 first pitch on the score. You know, an abbreviated Burns, Holmes, and Rahimi. Maybe Layla's not even there tomorrow because it's only a 90-minute show or something. Is it even 90 minutes? It might not even be a 90-minute show. But
well, we'll see. What have they today? We'll have to see what they have today. Dustin, the point is, that's less of that show for you not to listen to when you're teaching at the Illinois School.
On my way to the Illinois Media. Well, it's either or tape delay. Or tape delay Greeny hosted by somebody other than Greeny. Those are my options.
That's why their show's doing that well. All right, you said it. I didn't. Hey, Justin, thank you, buddy. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for the invite. Take care, guys.
Are you wearing a vest? I didn't look on Zoom. Is he wearing
a vest? No, I have a collared shirt.
Oh, okay. All right.
I do have on. You want, if you didn't, truth be told, I am wearing shorts and flip flops right now, but I'm at home.
Oh,
not at work.
Wait a minute. Wow. That's got to be a violation from what I hear.
We would not.
I'm at home. Yeah. I'm at home. I'm not at school.
Not at work.
I'm in Elmhurst. I'm in shorts and flip flops.
Okay. I don't know if we want to let you on the air. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, buddy. That's Dustin Rhodes joining us from the morning show and the Fly the W podcast. It's Spiegs and Anthony Herron staying up to date with everything in terms of Bears cuts. And we'll check in with Chris Emma at the top of the hour, which by then we should have a finality on the first 53. But we interrupted an interesting conversation with Anthony Herron about what it's like, what happened to him 20 years ago today. We'll get back to that next on The Score.